Okay, you can open up your Bible to the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 143 today. We begin our study in verse 1. This is our 67th study in the book of Psalms. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. In thy righteousness. Prayer is speaking. It is not worship. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. In thy righteousness. He is talking to God. He is not worshiping God. Prayer is speaking. It is not worship. It can be worship, depending on what is said. Here David is simply talking to God and asking him for a favor. Verse 2. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for no man living is righteous before thee. If God is going to bring us into his eternal court, and try us on the basis of our works, and by that determine if we're going to go to heaven or hell, we're all dead for sure. He says, no man living is righteous before thee. Might as well just save the time, cancel the court date, and just send us all to hell right now. Verse 3, for the enemy has pursued me, he has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Darkness refers to Hades here. The Jews believed that souls went to Hades after death. They believed that there was no light in Hades, and because he had so many people, you know, out to get him, David felt like he was living in the land of total darkness, land of Hades. It was really overwhelming for him at times. And he says in verse 4, therefore my spirit falls within me. My heart within me is appalled. David had feelings. Even a thick-skinned great warrior like David had feelings. And even a thick-skinned person can only take so much rejection and assaults on their character before they begin to feel it. 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that thou hast done. I muse on what thy hands have wrought. What did David do? What did he do when he was down in the dumps? He thought about all the great things God created. And he thought about all the nice things God has done. And there's no better cure for depression than thinking about and thanking God for his goodness and for his great works. 6. He says, I stretch out my hands to thee. My soul thirsts for thee like a parched land. His soul was dry and cracked like parched land. He needs God real bad. He needs to feel God. Nothing but God could satisfy him. If he can just sense the presence of the Lord and have some fellowship with him, he'll have peace. And it will refresh him. You know, sometimes that's all we have left. And it's amazing what God can do for us when we turn to him in those times. 7. Make haste to answer me, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Everyone went to Hades before Jesus died and ascended to heaven, the good and the bad. God's people went to the paradise portion of Hades. The others went to the pit. The pit was imagined to be like a hole. And once you were there, you wouldn't be getting out until judgment day. And then you would be relocated into hell, the final hell. So you're in real trouble if you went to the pit. Verse 8, let me hear the morning of thy steadfast love. Let me hear in the morning of thy steadfast love, for In Thee I put my trust. Teach me the way I should go, for in Thee I lift up my soul. Knowing God's way, teach me Thy way, Lord. Teach me the way that I should go. Knowing God's way can only come from God. If we do not know God's way, then we'll never be able to walk in it. And we cannot know it unless He tells us. Because on our own, we are incapable of figuring it out. God wants us to please Him. Therefore, we can be sure that He will show us what to do in time to do it. If we want to know that, we don't have to worry about that. That is so silly for Christians to worry about not knowing the will of God. If you want to know what God's will is and you sincerely want to do God's will, He will show you what it is in time for you to do it. Don't worry about that. He's big enough and smart enough to know how to do that. 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I have fled to Thee for refuge. He is hiding in God. And to hide in God means to trust that God will do something. God is like a good hiding place. He will do what needs to be done for us. We don't have to worry when we're in a good hiding place. And we will not worry if we really trust in God. Because He will do what needs to be done for us. Verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Let Thy good spirit lead me on a level path. Teach me and lead me was his prayer to God. A wise Christian may have certain goals, but they don't want to attain those goals if God has something else in mind. Verse 11. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life, and Thy righteousness bring me out of trouble. In other words, save me for Your reputation. That's a pure motive, and that glorifies God. Save me for Your reputation, even more than for myself, for my own sake. Save me for Your reputation. That's purity in motive. Problem is, many times sinful man has mixed motives for their request. It's not always so pure. They want it because they want it. And they want it because it would honor God. One is holy, the other is sin. See, that's another reason we are dead without the cross, because not even our motives are pure. Most of the time. 12. And in Thy steadfast love, cut off my enemies and destroy all my adversaries, for I am Thy servant. In other words, because You love me, God, destroy my enemies. David wouldn't do it himself. You know, he had opportunities to avenge himself from his enemies, but he wouldn't do it. Instead, he left that job to God. David wanted justice, but he let God decide what proper justice would be. He trusted the Lord. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. David knew how to fight. And he gave God the credit. If you're a soldier or a policeman, you better know how to fight. That is a needed skill, as much as any other skill. In a sinful world, that is a very much needed skill. Protecting our citizens, protecting the innocent, is an honorable work. Verse 2, my rock and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues the peoples under him. David is saying, I looked to God for victory, and he came through. David often had to fight, but he did it by God's grace, and he won by God's grace, and he's giving God the credit. If we have any success in anything, it's really only because of God's grace. O Lord, what is man that thou dost regard him, or the son of man that thou dost think of him? David knows mankind, and he knows God, which is why he wonders why God cares about us. And I know how we are as people, David is saying, and I know how you are as God, so why do you care about us? Doesn't make sense, God. Why do you care about us? Well, one answer is, God is love. He loves and cares for his creation. Not because we are lovable, not because we are worthy, but because it is God's nature to love. It's his nature to be loving. It's his nature to be caring. That's why he does it. 4. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Job said, my days are swifter than a runner. No one that I have ever known, no senior citizen anyway, looks back at their life and says, boy, it went by slow. Time really dragged. I didn't think I'd ever get to be this age. It took so long. It took forever. Nobody ever says that. This life goes by fast. But it isn't even a small fraction of what we've got coming through Jesus Christ and what we've got coming because of the cross of Christ. It's just a little fraction, it's a little sliver of what we have in store for us in Christ. So, yeah, it's kind of sad that this life goes by fast, but as Christians, we have so much more, and we must focus on that. 5. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out thy arrows and rout them. Countries think it's a big deal when they have the latest weapons, but it's nothing compared to what God has in his arsenal. Are you kidding? He can direct lightning bolts to hit whatever he wants to, whenever he wants it to happen. God can make volcanoes erupt. He can make the earth to quake. 7. Stretch forth thy hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of aliens, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. David needs deliverance from those who smile and shake your hand, but the minute your back is turned, stab you in the back. I guess people like that are about as opposite from God as anyone could possibly be. Because if God is upset, it's only because someone has done wrong. And when he is upset, he lets people know. You know, he is a straightforward God. He lets people know. He doesn't, you know, shake your hand and smile and pretend that everything's okay, and then when you turn your back, fire a lightning bolt and nail you between the shoulder blades. He cares about people, even people who are doing wrong things. And so he gives people opportunities to correct themselves. He doesn't lead people on, pretending that all is well, and then throw them into hell after they're dead. Verse 9 and 10. I will sing a new song to thee, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to thee, who givest victory to kings, who rescuest David thy servant. New blessings from God deserve new songs from us to him. Fresh blessings deserve fresh praise and fresh thank yous from us. Every moment of life is a gift and deserves a thank you. 11 and 12. Rescue me from the cruel sword and deliver me from the hand of aliens whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. It is a wonderful blessing from God when parents see that the children they raised are men and women of godly character And, you know, that's what he is praying for, because that's such an important thing. And what a sad story can be told in so many homes today, where the children have no fear of God and no respect for their parents. They either were not trained properly, or they received the training and they just rebelled. What a sad story. Not just for the kids, you know, who could end up in hell, but for the parents too. 13. May our garners be full, providing all manner of store. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. It is good when a household has plenty of what it needs and even more. A loving home is great. A holy home is the most important. You know, but it is hard to be happy when there isn't enough food, when there isn't enough of what is needed. It really makes it tough. Don't care how holy you are. Verse 14. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mischance or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. No outcry in our streets. In other words, no protest over unfair treatment. No protest by the poor because there's not enough equal justice for them. And remember this. Remember that this prayer begins in verse 9 with praise and thanks to God. And so he is asking for God's blessing, but he is grateful for what God has already done. He's asking for God's future blessing, but he's grateful. And he started out this prayer by being grateful for what God has already done. And there's an important lesson there for us. If one is not grateful for the good that they have, then, you know, it would not be surprising if God ignored their prayers for more. 15. Happy the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy the people whose God is the Lord. That is the truth. When the Lord Jesus Christ is held in high honor, and the people of a nation worship Him from their hearts, that's going to be a great place to live. There will be peace, there will be prosperity and joy if a nation is righteous. Living right makes things right. We'll pick up our study next time in Psalm 145. Until then, so long, everyone.